Good morning. It's time for In the Green Outdoors with Gail Martin and Carol Kelly. Each week, the ladies will bring you gardening and planting ideas, tell you about native Ohio plants, prairies and habitats, and great tips for everything in the green outdoors. This week with Carol Kelly.
Hello again, everyone. Well, when I recorded my last segment of In the Green Outdoors, the temperatures barely had dropped from the long, mild autumn full of fall color that we all enjoyed. But now winter cold has settled in for sure. Besides being a nature nerd, I am something of a grammarian. You know, one of those weird folk who cringe and grit their teeth every time we encounter in print an apostrophe where none should be. So sometimes I reflect on etymology rather than entomology, and so I was interested when I explored recent articles that explained the origins of the words fall and winter. The word fall refers to the falling leaves, a hallmark of the season. According to Merriam-Webster, the word autumn, derived from the Latin autumnus, was originally more commonly used. The older word is autumn, which first came into English in the 1300s. Prior to the arrival of the word autumn, the season commonly was called harvest, which was potentially confusing, since harvest can refer both to the time when harvesting crops usually happens in autumn, as well as the actual harvesting of crops, using the verb harvest. The word autumn was, then, a big hit, and once it appeared, quickly gained extensive use in English writing. A name for the season didn't end with autumn, however. Poets continued to be in awe of the changes that autumn brought, so frequently described the season as the fall of the leaves. By the 1600s, the shorter term fall gained general use, especially as American and British English diverged across the oceans, with the word autumn being favored more in Britain. As for the word winter, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica, that comes from an old Germanic word for time of water, a reference to the heavy rain and snow that occurs in the middle and high altitudes of that northern European country at this time of year. So that's our English lesson for the day. Now, I never really have ventured out away from our big blue marble and into the cosmos in my broadcasts, but have remained earthbound. Today, however, since we are nearing the solstice, I thought it might be interesting to look into what influences the seasons. Let's begin with the reason for the season. No, not in the religious sense, discussions of which have resulted in contentious Facebook arguments this time of year. The astronomical start of a season depends on the position of the Earth in relation to the sun. More specifically, either a solstice for winter and summer or an equinox for spring and autumn, that marks the start of each earthly season. The meteorological start date is based on our 12-month civil calendar and the annual temperature cycle, so each season starts on the first day of a specific month and goes on for 3 months, dividing the year neatly into quarters. Spring starts on March 1st, summer on June 1st, autumn on September 1st, and winter on December 1st. Certainly, everyone who has attended elementary school knows that warmer seasons do not occur because the Earth is nearer than the sun, and colder seasons when Earth is farther away from the sun. Of course not. Here's the thing. The Earth's axis, the imaginary pole about which the planet seems to revolve, always is tilted in the same direction. At one end of the axis is the North Pole, at the other, the South Pole. As the Earth makes its annual revolution around the sun, during winter in the northern hemisphere, its axis is tilted at a 23.5 degree angle away from the sun. During summer, of course, it's the opposite. So, of course, winter here is summer in Australia. So it's the tilt of the Earth that gives us the seasons, along with the changes in weather. When the Earth's axis is tilted towards the sun, it receives more direct sunlight and for a longer period during the day. So temperatures in general rise. The opposite is the case in winter. With the sun's rays striking Earth at a more glancing angle, the air does not heat up as much. Of course, this heating and cooling happens gradually as Earth's angle changes daily. So there's a considerable lag between the peaks of warm or cold average temperatures. Listeners likely are aware that the summer and winter solstices do not fall on the same date each year. This is due to the fact that the Earth takes approximately 365 and one-fourth days to circle the sun, which explains why every 4 years we have leap year, at which another day is added to our calendar. This orbit is the same reason the precise time of the equinoxes varies from year to year as well, generally 6 hours later each year, with a jump of a day backwards on leap years. We know the scientific explanation for this apparent coming and going of the sun. As the old Farmer's Almanac points out, people often think of the winter solstice as a day-long event, but the solstice actually lasts only a moment. Specifically, it's the exact moment when the Earth's hemisphere is tilted as far from the sun as possible, the almanac states. While we have not discovered any sort of life on other planets in our solar system, the other planets still have seasons, even if they lack life forms. But it's interesting to imagine how seasons come and go on other planets. I have read, for example, that the axis of Mercury, the planet closest to the sun, essentially has no tilt relative to the plane of its orbit, so does not experience seasons at all. Conversely, the planet Uranus has an axial tilt of 98 degrees, which means its seasons last 21 years. One of its years, that is, the time it takes to complete one orbit around the sun, takes this planet about 84 of our Earth years. It's the only planet whose equator is nearly at a right angle to its orbit, with a tilt of 97.77 degrees. Scientists think this may be the result of a collision with an Earth-sized object long ago. This unique tilt causes Uranus to have the most extreme seasons in the solar system. For nearly a quarter of each year, the sun shines directly over each pole, plunging the other half of the planet into a 21-year-long dark winter. Interestingly, Uranus is also one of just two planets that rotate in the opposite direction than most of the other planets. Venus is the other. Speaking of Venus, its axis is almost upright at 3.39 degrees, meaning that, similar to Mercury, there are virtually no seasonal effects. A Venus spring is almost indistinguishable from a Venus autumn. So if you removed its fiery atmosphere, you could expect balmy weather all year round, and it would be a long year, as one day on this slow-spinning planet is the equivalent of 243 Earth days. Mars has a tilt of 25.19 degrees compared to Earth's 23.44, and its winters can be as cold as negative 153 degrees centigrade. Mars has an oval-shaped orbit, which does make the planet colder when it's further away, but that tiny tilt still makes an astronomical difference in its seasonal variation. Spring is the longest season in Mars' northern atmosphere at 7 months, and winter the shortest at 4. Jupiter has the shortest day in the solar system. One day on Jupiter takes only about 10 Earth hours. That is the time it takes for Jupiter to rotate or spin around once, and it makes a complete orbit around the sun, a year in Jovian time, in about 12 Earth years. Its equator is tilted with respect to its orbital path around the sun by just 3 degrees, meaning that Jupiter spins nearly upright and does not have seasons as extreme as other planets do. Saturn takes 29 years to circle the sun. Its equator is tilted relative to its orbit by 27 degrees, very similar to the 23-degree tilt of the Earth. Neptune trumps the other planets, however, as this icy planet has a 165-year-long orbit and 40-year-long winters. It has a larger tilt than the Earth, 27 degrees, and a more circular orbit than Mars, and is a gas giant like Jupiter. So each season is pretty consistent and lasts 7 years. Although Pluto has been demoted, well, downgraded from a planet to a dwarf planet, it's complicated, you can look it up. It is interesting to note that Pluto has a tilt of 119.5 degrees. This means that its north pole is almost upside down compared to Earth's, So one half of that distant icy rock will take turns enduring months of a midnight sun and then months of total darkness. Its seasons can last over a century, since it takes 248 Earth years for Pluto to orbit around the sun. This exploration into the length of winters reminds me of the writing of the late award-winning author Ursula Le Guin, known mostly for her books in the sci-fi fantasy genre. In Rokanan's world, the setting is a planet that is described as having an 800-day year, with the cycle of months beginning anew at each equinox. One character mentions that there is sunlight in Wormir and Coldir, the remembrance of sunlight, the yellow fruit, the yellow leaves in end season. I have read many of Le Guin's books, and while I cannot recall which book it was, I do remember references to inhabitants having been summerborn or winterborn. Anyway, I am struck by the fact that Le Guin makes us aware that time is not measured the same throughout the galaxy. Well, by now you're either totally confused or understand the reason for these annual astronomical dances. With that in mind, now let's briefly recall that for many centuries, religious activities did center on the solstice. Long before Christmas and Hanukkah, many ancient folk rituals were based on the shortest day and longest night of the year. The ancient Romans celebrated Saturnalia, an eight-day festival of wild abandon, during which no work was done, slaves temporarily were freed, gifts exchanged, homes and other buildings decorated, and there was much eating, drinking, singing, and dancing, all in hopes of encouraging the sun to return. These days, the festivities seem to run together starting even before Halloween, with things heating up over Thanksgiving, and then really get rolling after Turkey Day. Our modern weeks of partying mimic the traditions of various early pagan nature festivals that over time have been adopted and adapted to present-day celebrations. This is Carol Kelly saying that, as we shiver, the arrival of the winter solstice means that for a few weeks yet, it will seem as though the sun is standing still. So keep those electric candles burning in the window and trust that, just as in pagan times, the sun will heed our puny pleas and slowly begin its return once more to awaken life in the green outdoors.
And there's your show for the week. In the Green Outdoors is a production of WZMO Radio. The show airs Saturdays and Mondays right after the second cup at about 9:30 a.m. If you have a question or comment for Carol or Gail, you can email it to WZMO@roadrunner.com. Thank you for listening.